Good morning. It's Monday Minutes with Pastor Tony, and I cannot believe we're already back at Monday morning. I hope that you had a great weekend and that you had good family time and all of that awesome stuff, right? And I hope that you had a great worship experience on Sunday. And I always appreciate you taking time to join with me on these Monday Minute podcast teachings. Now, I don't really try to make these too entertaining, and I certainly don't preach on these. The intention behind these is to teach and to disciple. This is an extra arm of our discipleship ministry, in addition to small groups. This is our endeavor to teach and to empower believers. So I hope that you find these good and entertaining. But most importantly, I hope that they help teach and build up. I was really encouraged lately at the number of people that have been telling me that you enjoy these. That makes my heart happy and lets me know that I'm not doing this in vain. So thank you so much for that. It is Monday. Good morning. Again, if you like these, you can share the Podbean link. If people tell you that they have a hard time finding the podcast on Mondays, point them to the church website, therefugenm.com. Click on Pastor's Podcast. Really easy to find it that way. All right. We are going to dive right in because we're asking questions about the end times. This is part two of our in-game talk of what is going on in the world. And we're talking about the shifting and the shaking that we're seeing in culture. Talking about the rapture of the church, signs of the time. What is all of this about? You know, what is going on? And, you know, I don't know about you. Do you wonder what's going on? I had a person tell me the other day that when he goes to work, people ask him, unbelievers even, what is going on in the world? People ask that question a lot. What about you? Do you ask that question a lot? What is going on in the world? Well, this is what this teaching is all about. This is the point of these podcasts. We are talking about endgame, signs of the time, eschatology. That is the theological word for end times talk, the summation of all things. So last week we talked a lot about setting the table. I talked about reasons why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We talked about the rapture. Now, can I just take a moment? I don't mean to bore you in history or theological talk, but this is not in the pulpit, and this is a podcast to learn. And I am of the assumption that you wouldn't be listening to these podcasts if you didn't want to learn. So let me risk something here, risk boring you and go out on a limb and teach about something for a few moments, because I've been seeing a lot of people in Facebook groups talk about how they don't believe in the rapture. I heard just the other day a video by Dr. Ben Witherington, who you might not know him. He's a very respected author in Christian work, and I highly respect his work. Frankly, I have used his materials many times as sourcing materials for my college work. So I respect Witherington, but he had made a very short video of why the rapture isn't true. And this really, and it, you know, that post blew up, and I couldn't honestly believe the number of Church of God preachers that really agreed with him. And this just got me to thinking about some things. And so we are early in this podcast series on Endgame, Signs of the Time, End Time Talk. And so pardon me, if you would please, to take a few moments to just kind of settle on this for a moment, because I want to get this settled in our minds and hearts about the rapture. Now, I said last week that I am a dispensationalist. I believe in dispensationalism. I want to talk about that. But at the same time, I teach that or believe that in balance, and I do not believe in being sensational. a sensational dispensationalist, that's a lot to say, isn't it, would be someone who looks at every single headline in the news, that looks at every geopolitical event and says, ha, there's something spiritual about this. Or there's something about this that's end times, and they make some big deal about it, and they hype everything up to get books and sales and follows and ratings and likes and links and all of that. Now, that is a sensationalist. I am not that. But what is dispensationalism? I want to make sure you smart people that are joining me on these podcasts understand. An amillennialist is someone who doesn't believe in dispensationalism. Well, what is dispensationalism? Dispensationalism is the belief that there are different periods of time throughout the history of humanity, and that there will be other periods of time in the future. A dispensationalist believes that there are different dispensations, meaning that different periods of time in the history of humanity and different periods of time going forward. I choose to believe that. Now, I always say this, and I always want you to understand me. Hey, listen, I'm a balanced person, and I understand in the world of end times teaching, or in the world of eschatology, if you're more of the theological person like myself, all of these things are peripheral issues, meaning that they really don't matter in the grand scheme of things in terms of salvation, okay? Now, we all could be wrong. I will admit right now, my view and standing of Scripture in terms of eschatology or end times understanding could be wrong. Or I could be right and the amillennialist could be wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible is not 100% clear about these things, and so we have to interpret it the best we can. So I want you to understand that. I'm not going to be like some of these preachers on TV that get arrogant and basically say, I know I'm right. Well, I'm not going to be that way about this topic because it's a peripheral issue and it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things in terms of salvation. Please, someone somewhere, tell me if that makes sense. Does that make sense to you? I tell you what does matter in the grand scheme of things. What does matter is I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is a creator and there's only one God. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Word of God is true. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that heaven is real, hell is real, and the only way to be with God is through the salvation and atoning work of Jesus Christ. I know that faith is true. When I pray, God hears me. That when I read the Word, it fills my spirit. That the Word of God is alive and powerful. These are the things that matter. Peripheral issues are additional issues on the edge of our core theology that ultimately do not matter in the grand scheme of things. And eschatology or end times teaching or end game talk is on the peripheral side of things. So I said that to say, if you're wrong at the grand scheme of things, as long as you're saved, it doesn't really matter. If I'm wrong in the grand scheme of things, as long as I'm saved, it does not matter. But this is where I'm coming from. In my end times belief, I do believe in dispensations or periods of time. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me break it down. Prior to Jesus' atoning work on the cross and the birth of the church was a different period of time. It was the time under the law. It was the time of the law. When Jesus came and done the atoning work on the cross and the church was birthed, we are now in the church age, or the church period of time. The church age will last until the beginning of the tribulation period, and that is a 7-year period of time in which judgment is being poured out on the earth. That period of time will end with the second coming of Christ, and that will begin another period of time called the millennial reign of Christ. That period of time will come to an end, and then when it's all said and done, the new Jerusalem comes to earth, a remade earth, and heaven is on earth forever for those who are born again in Christ Jesus. Now, that's called dispensationalism, different periods of time. I believe that. That's where I'm coming from. Now, if that ends up being wrong, then, oh well, I'm saved anyway, and I'm going with God. Does that make sense? But I believe that there's going to be a rapture of the church. Now, I heard someone, Dr. Witherington, say that the rapture of the church, I want you to understand this, I want this to be clear, so bear with me. The rapture of the church is a false teaching that it stems to the 1800s, that never before the 1800s was it ever taught. That it began in the 1800s with Darby and his revolution and his ministry. That is factually not true. Now, I respect Witherington, but he's wrong on this. That is factually not true. I heard another, even Church of God evangelist once say that the rapture teaching started in the 1800s. That, my friends, is factually not true. We can go back to the patristic period. The patristic period is the time of the church fathers, the men that followed the apostles. These were the closest people to the apostles. We can go back to Irenaeus and study his work. He spoke of the rapture. Now, history will teach us that Origen and his teaching in the 5th century lined up amillennialism, and we also see that from Augustine, and that become, frankly, a very profound and believed doctrine for about 1,000 years, for quite some time. But in the Reformation period, which is the 1500s, the pre-tribulation rapture teaching began to be taught again. So it is factually incorrect. I mean, you can prove it. It's factually incorrect to say that rapture teaching began in 1830. That's not true. It's absolutely not true. It was taught in the 1500s. It was taught even going back to the patristic period by people like Irenaeus. So we need to get a hold of that and recognize that it simply is not a historical fact to say that the rapture was never taught until 1830 by Darby. That is not true. I could light my hair on fire. That's just not true. Okay. Even if you don't believe in the rapture, even if you believe that it's a false teaching, okay. But still, you cannot deny that this was taught before 1830. In the late 1500s, going into the 1600s, premillennialism was taught. Again, 1,000 years prior to that, much of amillennialism was taught, but people in the 1500s and 1600s began to teach about the rapture. Now, you can find all of this. I could give you more information if you want more information on that, but it is available. Now, some people today say that the pre-tribulation rapture teaching began in 1830, that it has satanic origin, that it does not come from God, that there's no documentation in history that it's ever been true taught prior to that. However, that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. So even if you don't believe in a rapture of the church, okay, you have that right to believe that, but please do not believe that based upon the fact someone said to you that it wasn't taught until 1830. That is not true. Now, this issue of dispensationalism, this is the way I see Scripture. I see Scripture as we are currently in the church age. And the church age will come to an end at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. We see that taught concerning the beginning of the tribulation. That is found in Revelation chapter 6. It's also found in Daniel. And it's also brought in by a war that we see in Ezekiel 38, 39, 37, 38, 39. That war, according to Revelation chapter 6, is so intense that one-fourth of humanity dies. Now, the church is mentioned several times in the book of Revelation up to the beginning of the tribulation in Revelation chapter 6. But in the following chapters, like Revelation chapter 6 through 18, I believe it is off the top of my head. I don't have that note in front of me, which deals with the period of the tribulation. The church is never mentioned once. Well, people speculate different things for that, but the reason why I believe it's not mentioned once is because the church is not here. I heard someone say this weekend that, well, the church would go through the tribulation period and God would just protect the church like God protected the Israelites in Egypt. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. The Israelites in Egypt didn't have a redeemer who took judgment on the cross for them. So they had to live in judgment. But we as Christians know clearly that judgment was taken upon the cross. Am I making sense to anyone? Judgment was taken to the cross. So our judgment was placed upon Jesus. So therefore the judgment's been removed by the blood of the Lamb. So why would God then turn around and place judgment back upon us? It's very inconsistent. So I see an inconsistency there. I see inconsistency with all the scriptures I read last week in part one that I won't go back to, but all the scriptures that I read in part one showing us that believers are not destined for wrath, that believers have been redeemed from judgment. I also see symbolism of the rapture in the Old Testament of the way God removed people when judgment came. For example, how God removed people during the flood, how God removed people during Sodom and Gomorrah, and even in Egypt, how the blood was placed over the doorposts and judgment when the plagues were being poured out, the judgments were being poured out, God protected the people. Listen, well, people say, well, you know, God would do it the same way in the time of the tribulation period. Well, okay, I get that point. But the point is, the Bible teaches that people will be removed, in my opinion. So, you know, now with that being said, I don't believe in sensationalism. I read someone said this weekend that, one of the reasons why I don't believe in dispensationalism is because it is based upon political events. It can be, and that's wrong. That's called sensationalism, and that's why I don't teach that way. I mean, I'm sure you've heard people say this, but, you know, people, do you realize that people in the 40s and the 50s, you can go back and look, preachers were teaching and preaching in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s that based upon the political events of that day, the rapture was imminent? Well, it wasn't. We're still here. There was a book written in 1988, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming in 88. It didn't happen. See, that's a sensationalist. In year 2000, Y2K, there were prophecies, so to speak, false prophecies. Be careful, prophecies that you listen to. Please try the spirits. Pay attention to the word of God. But people prophesied that the rapture is going to happen at year Y2K. Didn't happen. People prophesied and taught and wrote books and articles and sensationalism all about the Mayan prophecies and how Jesus was coming in 2012. Didn't happen. A few years ago, there was a sensationalist boom about all these blood moon books, that all this catastrophic events were going to happen in the nation of Israel, and surely the rapture will happen in accordance with the tetrads and the blood moons. Didn't happen. You see, this is why I talk so much about against sensationalism. But just because I'm against sensationalism doesn't mean I'm against dispensationalism. And really, a lot of the arguments that I have read that people do not believe in dispensation are doing it based upon sensation. Well, I believe we can take sensation out of the dispensation and still have dispensation. Does that make sense to anybody? I hope I'm being clear And I hope this isn't clear as mud, but I'm trying to really talk with us today and help us understand the reason why I believe in dispensationalism and at the same time why I don't believe in sensationalism. Now, you might say, well, I'm still an amillennialist. I don't believe in the rapture. Okay, fine, fine, fine. Believe what you will. And again, I could be wrong, but either way, we can agree on the main thing, and the main thing is salvation in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, that God is real and God is true and God is just, that the Bible is the Word of God. So we can agree on those things. Now, what about the major problem that many people find with dispensationalism is that it's a sensational hype and people are all the time saying Jesus is about to come. Can we please make sure we understand this? I'm not a sensationalist, even though I believe in dispensationalism. Help me out here. If anyone tells you that they have figured out when Jesus is coming, they're wrong. Matthew 24:36. Some of you are taking notes. You've told me that. Bless your hearts. You're taking notes. That makes me so happy. Matthew 24:36. But that day and hour knows no man. No. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, we don't have time for a Trinity lesson here, but do you understand Jesus knows when Jesus is coming again? Because if Jesus doesn't know when Jesus is coming again, Jesus isn't God. So Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. It's called the hypostatic union. Jesus at times in the gospel speaks from his deity, but sometimes he speaks from his humanity. Anytime in the Bible that you see Jesus talking about not knowing something, but only the Father does, or not being able to do something, only the Father can, or not my will, but the Father's will, or anything along that verbiage, he's talking from his humanity. Obviously, in his deity, he knows when he's going to come again, because there's no separation in the Trinity. There's no way that the Father can know something and not the Son. If the Father knows something and not the Son, then the Son is not equally God. And we believe that the Father is God and the Son is God and the Spirit is God. So if that is the case, man, see, I really can geek out on talking about the Trinity. The Trinity is one of my favorite topics. And maybe for some of you theologian geeks out there that love that kind of deep, heavy talk, we can have a talk on the Trinity sometime. But with that being said, when Jesus says this, he's speaking from his humanity because his deity obviously knows. But what he says here is that no man knows, not even the angels know. So there's no way some hyped up sensational evangelist has figured it out, or some sensational pastor has figured it out, or some sensational prophet has figured it out. No, no man knows a day or hour. Matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew 24:44 that he will come again when we least expect it. He says, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour that you do not expect him. He goes on to say in the parable that we need to pay attention and discern the times. Yes. Yes. We need to pay attention and discern the times. Yes. But still yet, this will take place at an hour we least expect. What he tells us is we could know the season. Now, based upon the signs of the time, I do believe we are in that season. Yes. But we don't know exactly when. The focus of eschatology in the New Testament, the focus of endgame, end-time talk in the New Testament, isn't on figuring out when. It's about being ready. Are you ready? Glory to God. Are you ready? What's your answer to that? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Are you ready for heaven? He says, be ready. And then, of course, Luke 10:13, there is a great focus on occupying till he comes. So he doesn't want us to have the pack up or going up mentality. He wants us to be ready and live ready and witness to people and help get people ready, but then go ahead and live like it's never going to happen. You see, I want you to understand this. As much as there is a shaking going on in the world, and right now with the Russia-Ukraine thing, everyone's wondering, is this the beginning of World War III? Is this the beginning of the Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 war? You see, the Bible teaches that the tribulation period, have you heard that famous teaching of the tribulation will be 3.5 years of peace followed by 3.5 years of hell on earth? That's not true. The Bible teaches, and I will try to get into this next week. I promise I'll try, but there's so much to say on this. It's hard. The Bible teaches that the tribulation period begins instantly with a war where 1/4 of humanity dies, Revelation 6. The second half gets worse with an additional 1/3 of humanity dies. Now, you want my opinion? This is just my opinion. Please don't write it down. This is just Pastor Tony's opinion. I believe that the tribulation period begins with a nuclear war. And the second half, the judgments being poured out, is the effects of the nuclear war, the fallout of the nuclear war, because these prophetic events happen with physical, natural, tangible means. So that's what I believe. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I warn you, just my opinion. But the Bible tells us to be ready, and the Bible tells us to occupy. I heard a preacher one time said, pack up, we're going up. That was about 10 years ago. Please don't do that. Occupy till he comes. Notice also the Bible never tells us to look for the Antichrist. It tells us to look for Jesus. If there's not going to be a rapture of the church, why would the Bible tell us to look for Jesus? We should be looking for the Antichrist. If there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, dispensationalism, if that's not going to happen, why doesn't the Bible teach us to look for the Antichrist, to point him out, to know all about the Antichrist, and to build shelters underground and try to survive this horrible war and this horrible time of judgment being poured out? I don't believe it. By the way, even if I'm wrong and there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, then most of us won't live anyway, because 1/4 of humanity are dead at the beginning of the tribulation period as judgment's being poured out. And God's pretty harsh because he's putting judgment on his people that he contradicted himself and said he wouldn't do. And then on top of that, most of us would get killed immediately, because 1/4 of humanity would die at the beginning of the tribulation period. And then that escalates to another 1/3 of people dying. So I just, you know, that's where I'm coming from. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. But we don't know when, so the focus is not on when. The focus is on being ready. Are you ready? Now, he does say that we can know the season of the time. Matthew 24, 32 through 33 says, now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putting forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you see these things, when you see all these things, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Now, he says that we're not going to know when Jesus is coming again, but we can know the signs of the season, and he likens it to seeing the signs. I mean, right now, we are at the end of winter where I live, and we are going into spring. Soon, the trees are going to start to bloom, and the grass is going to grow, and the flowers are going to start budding, and we're going to know we're in the season of spring because of the signs of the season. And he says, in that same manner, the signs will let you know that these things are near. Signs. He also says in Matthew 24:8 that all of these things come as birth pains. Now, every mother understands birth pains. I'm a guy. I don't. But you ladies out there understand birth pains, and you understand that birth pains, as the time gets closer, the birth pains get more closer together. So the frequency gets closer, and the intensity gets closer. So following that imagery, Jesus says that you're going to see these things come closer together and more intense. So as this time draws near, we're going to start seeing these things increase in intensity and in frequency, Matthew 24:8. And he says, when you see these things, this is the beginning of sorrows. And he also says that these things must come to pass. So frankly, we're wasting our time trying to pray away the signs of the time. These signs of the time must happen. Well, I'm out of time. I don't feel like I got very far. There's hours of things to say, but I really wanted to get that off my heart about dispensationalism and clear up the history issue of the rapture of the church. Now, let me end with this story, and then we'll pick up next week. This might be a 15-week talk. I don't know. There's so much to say. But let me tell you the reason why I believe we must occupy till he comes and not get wrapped up in sensationalism and sell your house and cancel your insurance policies and go sit on the roof and wait for Jesus. Please don't follow that kind of crazy talk. But, you know, there's people on YouTube and TV that would basically tell you to do that. I hope you don't fall for that. I hope you're smarter than that. Listen to this shepherd. I am 42 years old. I've been saved for 20 years. When I got saved in 2000, I immediately felt called to preach. Long story short, I was making a decision of whether to follow my dreams and move to Tennessee and go to Lee University or take the other route. And the other route is like going through the Church of God programs, like the MAP, MIP, these programs, and, you know, get your licensure that way. But I really wanted to graduate with a bachelor's degree. That was my dream. Have you ever had a dream? And, you know, Monica and I were not married yet, and our plan was to get married and move to Tennessee. I was going to attend Lee. She was going to attend a school in Tennessee, and that was our plan. I remember sitting at my mom's dining room table with the Lee University application, filling it out, and I received some really bad counsel from a gentleman at our home church, and he said to me in his living room, he said, "You don't have time to go to Lee. The rapture is about to happen. You need to start ministry as soon as possible." Well, I took that horrible advice, and I didn't go, and I went the other route. Nothing against the other route. I'm just saying that wasn't the way I wanted to go. It's been 20 years, my friend, and the rapture didn't happen. Now, he was going off sensationalism. He was going off the headlines in the newspaper, and that's why I'm such against sensationalism. So that's why I believe in not doing that. And the Bible says to occupy. So don't stop doing things because you're seeing things happen in the news. It might cause you to draw closer to God. It might cause you to warn others, but occupy. Keep living life till we are lifted up out of here in the great gathering of the church or by the second coming of the Lord, which happens at the end of the tribulation period, which is another talk for another day. I gotta go. Have a great Monday.